Service safe.
Professor Buzzkill. Mini-mess.
It's Thanksgiving, Buzzkillers, in the United States of America. And one of the things I'm always grateful for and I'm always thankful for is you. Listeners, Buzzkillers, commenters on our Facebook page, commenters on our blog, and of course, those of you who are spreading the word to all your friends and relations about how much this show means to you. Well, you mean a lot to me, and I'm going to give you a great mini myth. Ponder over in the after-dinner drinks after Thanksgiving. Let me start this way. Try to picture in your imaginations the Great Seal of the United States of America. Well, you probably can't see it because no one thinks of it all the time. But if you can't, pull out a $1 bill and have a look. There is a bald eagle in the center, clutching arrows in one of its talons and the laurel leaf in the other. First displayed publicly in 1782 and printed on the reverse side of every U.S. dollar bill since 1935, the Great Seal is supposed to represent the dignity and fortitude of the nation. And the bald eagle has been one of the most frequently displayed symbols of the country ever since. But one of the legendary stories that seem to appear and reappear in email chains, as well as from your nutty great uncle who's been overserved wine at Thanksgiving dinner, is that no less luminary and founding father than Ben Franklin thought that the bald eagle was an improper choice as the national bird and as a national symbol. Franklin preferred the more dignified turkey and tried to convince founding fathers to agree. Apparently, they thought Ben was getting a little on the senile old sentimentalist side in his old age, and so they ignored him. But is any of that legend true? Did Ben Franklin, in all his sagacity, really suggest the turkey as one of the most important American national emblems? Well, kind of, but not exactly. And we'll tell you the full story of the myth in a second. One of the reasons I'm such a big hit at Thanksgiving dinner, Buzzkillers, is because I have a great smooth shave to show off to all our guests and to make Lady Buzzkill proud. And I have a great smooth and good-looking shave because I use Harry's Razors. Harry's is a fantastic razor company. You've heard me talk about them before, and they've been so generous in being our sponsors on the podcast. Their fantastic razors are a fraction of what rip-off razors companies when they charge. They don't go into this upcharging nonsense where they make a small change in the blades or the color, come out with the newest version, and raise their already high prices. Harry's is different. They don't believe in that upcharging. They make razors better and better all the time, and their prices have remained the same. Not only do they charge a fraction, like I said, of what the rip-off razors companies charge, the good Buzzkillers at Harry's mail the razors right to you on a regular basis, on a schedule that you set up with your membership. Harry's five-blade razors include a softer flex end for more comfortable glide, a trimmer blade for hard-to-reach places, and again, I use that over and over again, a lubricating strip and textured handle for more control when it's wet. And their prices are still just $2 a blade, compared to the $4 or more you'll pay for the rip-off razors at the drugstore. How do they do this? By owning the factory in Germany where they make the blades, Harry's can produce high-quality razors themselves and sell them to you online for half of the price of those rip-off razor companies. And they have a special offer for you Buzzkillers out there, especially the ones who want to look good for the holidays. They'll send you their popular trial set for free when you go to harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com. Now, the free trial set comes with a razor, five-blade cartridge, and shaving gel, and you just pay a tiny amount for the shipping. But just for my listeners who enter the code BUZZKILL at checkout, they'll get Harry's popular post-shave balm for free. The post-shave balm is great. You look better. Your face will feel better all day when you use it. Let me repeat that. Go to harrys.com and enter the code BUZZKILL, 2 Z's, 2 L's, at checkout. You get the great razor, you get the great blades, you get the shaving cream and the post-shave balm for free. Do it now, Buzzkillers. Harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com. Code at checkout is BUZZKILL. Your subscription plan is customizable in terms of shipping frequency, and you can cancel at any time. Harrys.com, code at checkout is BUZZKILL. And now back to our friends Ben Franklin and the turkey. Okay, I asked you before the Harry's ad, Do you think any of this legend about Ben Franklin and turkeys is true? Well, as I said, kind of, but not exactly. Benjamin Franklin is well known for his humor, his wit, and his ironic insight. On the 26th of January, 1784, after it was clear that the eagle was going to be the national bird, Franklin wrote a letter to his daughter, and in that letter, he said that the eagle was actually, quote, a rank coward, unquote, and a bird of bad moral character. He apparently based these musings upon his observations of eagles in nature. Specifically, he noticed that eagles stole food from smaller birds and that these smaller birds could often be seen chasing eagles away without too much trouble, especially if they ganged together and went after the attacking eagle. So the eagle to Franklin is seen as kind of this bully when he can get away with it, and then he's a coward when people show up in force. Franklin also observed with apparent irony that the eagle on the great seal that was being used kind of looked like a turkey, which he wrote, quote, is in comparison a much more respectable bird and a true original native of America. Franklin continued by observing that the turkey, though a little vain and silly, is a bird of courage. It would not hesitate to attack a grenadier of the British Guards who would presume to invade his farm with a red coat on. So Franklin is comparing the turkey, vain and silly, but also full of courage, to an American rebel militiaman fighting the British Army. It's fairly obvious, given who Ben Franklin was and given how smart he was, that his observations and opinions that he expressed in this letter to his daughter weren't altogether that serious. For one thing, he only mentioned the turkey as a candidate for our national bird in this one letter, right? Which is rather odd for an experienced statesman to take his stand on such a weighty issue. And also, Franklin did publicly suggest a competing design for the Great Seal, but his idea depicted a confrontation between Moses and the Pharaoh, not a turkey replacing the eagle. In fact, his idea for a Great Seal didn't include any birds at all. So aside from Franklin's humorous letter to his daughter, how did the myth really gain momentum? It may have had something to do with the November 24th, 1962 illustration on the cover of the New Yorker magazine, which depicted the Great Seal of the United States with a turkey instead of an eagle. Now, notice the date of that issue, November 24th, 1962. The New Yorker magazine puts a cartoon of the Great Seal of the United States with a turkey instead of an eagle on it. Franklin's letter, quoted above, may have inspired the cartoonist who drew the drawing to, you know, humorize the national symbol and the national holiday together. I suspect that it was just part of the Thanksgiving fun of that year. But somehow, a connection was made with Franklin's earlier praise of the turkey. Remember, that respectable bird, a true original native of America, as he said. And that, buzzkillers, that connection is how myths are hatched. So there's not much more to it than grandma's cranberry sauce dressing. Happy Thanksgiving.